stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. You can also check out all the tools that I have on SouthHarmonFF.com. If you are looking at getting into some new startups here in January, definitely go on there and get access to the Warp tool. It is something that will help you a ton in making sure that you are drafting the best players for your league. Especially if you're expanding into a lot of leagues where you will have different scoring settings than you're used to, or even just you want to make sure that you're playing to the optimal strategy. Utilizing the Warp tool is going to help you make sure that you are getting the right players at the right values in your leagues. So this week is going to be the first in a series of four episodes where I'm going to be going through each position and talking through this general idea that I have. I have this theory that you can have a roster construction. And so I said at the end of last week, listen to Scott Connor's roster construction series because I love it. I think it is great. But I think you can flex that roster construction based on how willing you are to use your bench spots on any position. So if you listen to the Scott Connor roster construction, you hear him talk about how he wants around 10 quarterbacks. He wants around 10 running backs. He wants 7 or 8 wide receivers, and then maybe only a couple of tight ends. If you have the ability on your roster to strengthen a position and reduce the total number of that position that you need, you can increase the number of players elsewhere. And he even mentions that somewhat through his episodes. He mentions how if you have some really strong wide receivers, you can reduce that number and potentially increase the number of tight ends. Or if you have a really strong tight end, maybe you don't need as good of a backup tight end and you can allow yourself to roster more wide receivers. Or you could just have really strong running backs, and then you don't need to do as much of the any running back on a 53 strategy because you don't need to put random running backs into your lineup in that running back 2 spot. My theory is that I can do that anywhere. I can do that at any single position, and as long as my roster size is large enough in my league, as long as it's not like a roster 25 or something like that, I should be able to always have enough players on my team that I'm able to have an expectation that I will have somebody for every single one of those weeks where I need to sub somebody in. I will have that backup quarterback for that week at any point in the season where, hey, one of my 2 starters goes down. Even stronger than that, I think I can say if you have enough of a roster depth, you can potentially start a backup quarterback any week of the season. Or you can start a backup running back any week of the season, a wide receiver any week of the season, same with a tight end. And so what these 4 weeks are going to be is me going through and figuring out what is that number at every single position. Do I need to roster literally every single backup in the NFL in order to have a backup quarterback every single week? Or can I roster less? And how many do I expect that I need to do? Because if that number is I need to have 20 quarterbacks in order to expect that I will always have a backup quarterback on my team that I can put in my lineup for that week, well, that is going to be a problem if my entire team's total roster size is only 30 players. But that might not be a problem if my entire team's total roster size is 40 players. Because now I can potentially utilize that extra 10 roster spots to tack 10 more players onto that already 10 size quarterback roster construction that was talked about in Scott's episodes, and be able to roster so many of those quarterbacks that now I can actually rely on using a backup quarterback every week. So that is the theory behind what I am investigating, and I'm going to go through with every single position and figure out how reasonable is it that I'm able to find all of these backup players who are not in anybody's starting lineups going into the season and reliably use them and have a competitive enough position on my team in my starting lineup where I can distribute the value elsewhere. And this will be important if you have a market that is weird, a market that overvalues a certain position where, okay, if they overvalue the quarterback position too much in your league, if you know that you can fill in with a backup quarterback, all you need to do is get the backup quarterback, sell all the high value ones, and then you only need to put your value into the other three positions, which should be undervalued if they overvalue the quarterback position. So that's the theory. Now I'm going to start diving into the quarterbacks and what that looked like for this past season. So the first analysis I wanted to do was just look at best ball. It's easiest to look at best ball because that way I don't need to worry about choosing the quarterback at the beginning of that week. So if we're looking at a best ball team, I want to try and get one top 24 quarterback. The reason being, in a 12-team league, you have 12 teams, every single one of them should be trying to start two quarterbacks. So what I'm aiming for is that out of all the backup quarterbacks in the NFL, can I every single week have a top 24 quarterback on my team hitting my lineup? And if you exclude week one, because my parameters for this was that the quarterback needs to not start week one, and they need to not be one of the, what I was calling the should-be starter quarterbacks. Those are, for this season, Drake May, Michael Penix, and Russell Wilson. Those three all should have been starting week one, but they were not, because the first two, they were draft picks who were playing behind a veteran backup, and so they had extremely high dynasty value. And then Russell Wilson, he was supposed to be the starter, and he got that, I think it was a hamstring injury right before the season or during the preseason somewhere. And that caused him to not start the first few weeks of the season. That's when we had Justin Fields. And then Russell Wilson came in later and took over for Justin Fields. So those three are excluded from my data set. And everyone else needs to have not started week one. They need to have lost the starting job, been the backup quarterback. So for weeks 2 through 17, there was at least one backup quarterback who filled in the starting role and produced as a top 24 quarterback. So to run through what this could look like for you in the absolute ideal scenario, I was able to find only four backup quarterbacks that if I just rostered those four, I had a top 24 quarterback every single week from weeks 2 through 17. Those four quarterbacks were Malik Willis in weeks 2 and 3, Joe Flacco in weeks 4, 5, 6, 10, and 17, Mason Rudolph filled in for weeks 7, 8, and 9, and then weeks 15 and 16, and Jameis Winston filled in for weeks 11, 12, 13, and 14. So between just those four quarterbacks, I was able to have a top 24 finish for every single week of the fantasy season. That is an awesome result, and it really shows that in a best ball scenario, you're able to, if you are able to target those high value backups, you can likely end up in a situation where you have that quarterback position filled without needing to have that second starter. So, if you go into the season with somebody whose potentially scary from a will they have a long-term value situation. So say you go in, your second quarterback is Daniel Jones, or your second quarterback was Gardner Minshew. If your second quarterback was Will Levis, you are able to, with all the other backups available in the league, fill in that position once that starter loses their job. And so, if you have a league where people are severely overvaluing the quarterback, you can rely on having those backup quarterbacks to fill into your lineup. Now, the question is, obviously I was able to choose those four specifically. And I was able to have those four where I knew that those guys were the ones that I could fill in for each week. When you're going into a season, you don't know that. You need to try and choose the right quarterbacks and hope you get lucky. So, in this case, what I have now done is I've looked through, okay, how many total quarterbacks were there? Out of all of the available quarterbacks in the NFL, how many were not starters week one and produced at a top 24 level at any point over the course of the season? And that was a total of 15 quarterbacks. Out of those 15 quarterbacks, 8 of them were what I would have considered preseason the high-value backups. Those guys are Aiden O'Connell, because we were concerned about Gardner Minshew, and he was probably going to switch to Aiden O'Connell. Drew Locke, because we were concerned about Daniel Jones. Mason Rudolph, concerned about Will Levis. Jameis Winston, because when he appears in a game, he is an extremely good fantasy player. Marcus Mariota, for a similar reason that he would be backing up Jaden Daniels, and he also has some legs on him, so he's one of those guys that I had as a high value backup. Andy Dalton, another situation of he's just a really good fantasy backup. Tyrod Taylor, because of the concerns about Aaron Rodgers, and Joe Flacco, because he's yet again another really good fantasy backup. So those 8 guys, they ended up producing at the top 24 level. And the total number of backups that I would have considered before the season is around the 15-16 number. About half the backups in the NFL are guys that either have uncertain situations in front of them or are ones that are just really good for fantasy purposes. So about half those guys ended up coming into the season at some point and finishing top 24. So we're already starting to look at, okay, you are going to need a good number of backups because you cannot expect all of these guys to hit. And as I mentioned, so those 8 guys, they were the high value ones. And so then we had 7 guys who were not part of the high value backups who still produced at the top 24 level. So what that means to me is that the backup quarterbacks, at any point in the season, the chance that they're going to come in and have a top 24 result for you is about 50%. That's assuming that they are not like a third string quarterback or something like that. Like every single one of these guys that finished in the top 24 was the second string backup going into the season. And so all of these guys, about a 50% chance for every single one of them that they will come in and produce at a top 24 level. So we know if we want to get just a week out of any backup quarterback, it's a 50% chance. But how often does that mean that we are going to have a quarterback that week in order to be able to put points into our lineup if we're relying solely on backup quarterbacks? If we look at the data, starting in week 6, we will have at least 2 quarterbacks eligible every single week. In weeks 8, 9, and 10 this past season, those were the hardest 3 weeks. Those ones only had two backup quarterbacks available. But any other week of the season, we had it starting in week 6, we had at least three backup quarterbacks. In week 4, we also had three backup quarterbacks, but we only had one available in week 5. So as we would kind of expect, at the beginning of the season, it is much harder to have a backup quarterback slotting into your team. But as we get later into the season, we start to get more available. And having at least three guys available starting in week 6 means that I could reasonably expect that if I have 11 quarterbacks on my team, 11 backup quarterbacks, that by the time I get to week 6, I can have at least one available. So does that mean that I can just rely on rostering 11 quarterbacks every single season and I'll get one of them out of it? No, it doesn't. It is not something where I can say, oh yeah, I'm just going to take my best ball roster where I know the league is overvalued, roster 11 backup quarterbacks, and I'm good. I need to make sure that I still have the right guys. I still need to get some amount of luck because I don't have all 32 backups on that team. But what it does mean is that I can go into it with the expectation that I likely will not need to pay for a different backup quarterback to fit into my team if I can get 11 of the 32 backups in the NFL. Now, obviously, there's some guys, they will get a ton of value. If you are looking for those high-value ones that ended up being this year of Jameis Winston, of Joe Flacco, Mason Rudolph, those were all guys that we had identified before the season. They were going to be high-value backups. They were ones that were either likely to come in or were going to do really well. And when they came in for multiple weeks. They had really good weeks. They were the backups that were in a lot of demand. And so you still need to have some principles like that. You can't just blindly go and get the 11 worst backup quarterbacks in the NFL. You are not going to get as many weeks out of some of those weaker backup quarterbacks. But you are going to be able to rely on at least some of them to come and appear into your lineup. You might not need to go and have to get that Joe Flacco or Jameis Winston if you get to week 7 and you realize that you have Tyler Huntley on your team. Or you're hitting that bye problem in week 14 and you happen to have Drew Lock still sitting around. So what does this mean for how I'm going to try and roster this in best ball? If I have enough roster spots for my team, I am going to try and roster 11 quarterbacks, and specifically 11 backup quarterbacks. That's how I'm going to try and fill that position, but that is going to be kind of a niche scenario where that is even a possibility. So, as an example, what I like to do for most of my best ball teams is I like to roster at least two players per starting lineup position. And those two players are ones who are guaranteed to be playing that week. I trust them. And so going into the season, I'm going to have two solid players for every single position in my lineup. When you get to the quarterback position, if I'm saying, okay, this is going to take that super flex spot or that second quarterback spot, I'm dedicating 11 players to that. And a lot of my best ball leagues, they are pretty deep best ball leagues. So they are like a start 12. Well, if I'm doing two per, I need to roster 24 players for that entire starting lineup. And then I'm going to roster 11 backup quarterbacks on top of that. So I would need a total of 35 players. And I would need to be pretty strict in order to fit that in if that league is a bench size of 35. If I have a player who I don't think is necessarily going to hit my lineup, but is somebody I might want to hold on to. An example of that going into the season would have been a guy like Roman Wilson. Like, I liked him going into this season, but I don't expect him to hit my lineup, and he never did. He did really poorly. I would have had to ditch him essentially before the season started. Another guy that I would have had a lot of trouble with would have been a guy like Jalen Wright. We all like Jalen Wright because the fact that he's on Miami, he's a rookie, you don't know what the role is going to be on that offense. But the problem for this roster construction, if I was on a start or on a roster 35 team, is I don't have a spot for Jalen Wright. I do not project him to be one of those players that can hit my lineup week after week. And if I have two players for every single position, I'm fully filled on this team. I do not have the flexibility for any other position. So, if I am doing this this backup strategy, I probably want to have the entire roster size, if it's a start 12 best ball, be even deeper. I probably want to have it be all the way down at the 40 mark, or potentially even more. It depends on how strict I can be with myself. If I think that in this league I can be strict, I can get rid of all those players that are not going to fit that these are my 24 players a roster construction that I give myself, then all of these backups, I can't do it. And there's not a point in doing less than the 11. Like, sure, you still want to have some backup quarterbacks. You want to have the high value ones especially, and the lower value ones too, if you can roster them. But you then need to have that solid backup quarterback, or that solid quarterback three in this instance, if you're talking about that you have two quarterbacks for that first quarterback position. And so when you're going through, you're looking at your teams, it's very much reliant on what is the size of the rosters in your league. If you have really, really deep best ball rosters, it works out well, because you have the room to roster so many of these backup quarterbacks. The problem now just becomes, can you get all of them instead of your league mates rostering them? Because they're probably interested, because your depth in that league is so great. But if you are, say, in a start 12 best ball and your roster size is 30, I'm not going to advocate for this strategy. I'm not going to say that you can do this backup quarterback strategy, because it's just not going to work. You don't have enough roster spots to expect that you're going to be able to roster one of them off the backup quarterbacks. Instead, have the ones that you like, the ones that you think will do well, and during the season, you're going to need to trade for backup quarterbacks. And so you need to make sure that you have the draft capital, the rookie players, whatever it is that you are going to need in your league to have that flexibility in order to be able to go get them. So now that I've kind of covered best ball, I want to go into lineup leagues as well. How many quarterbacks do I need in order to fill lineup leagues? Can I rely on getting backup quarterbacks and having them come in and be those quarterbacks every single week? So if I want to try and use projections to have a top 24 quarterback every single week, because theoretically, if you have the optimal 12 starters, then on every single team, and then the 12 superflex quarterbacks, you should be able to always have a top 24 by projection going into the week. Theoretically, if a guy is projected 24th, either he's on the team that needs him to slot in as that quarterback, or he's on somebody's bench and you could go trade for them cheaply. That's the theory behind it. Obviously, we know that's not always practical because of how people get attached to players, but these are the kinds of things that we have to do in theory for these exercises and stuff like that. So if I'm just aiming to have a projected top 24 quarterback every single week, the minimum number of quarterbacks I would be able to do that with this past season was 6. So at the very least, you would need 6 quarterbacks if you're trying to fill in with the backup every single week of this past season. And I say that you're doing that every single week because really, week 8, we're actually missing one. There was not a backup quarterback from week 1 who was starting in week 8 and projected to be a top 24 option. So we are already at the point of missing 1 week just based off of those projections. Now, I mentioned earlier in best ball, we had a quarterback who finished it in the top there, and that was Mason Rudolph. He just wasn't projected to be there. So you'd have to know you're starting somebody who's projected outside of the top 24 and hoping for the best, hoping that they churn out a good performance for you and they don't end up throwing up a dud. So these projected quarterbacks, you have 6 of them in order to make it all the way through the season while still missing 1 week. And then on top of that, you still need the right guys. So if we're trying to say, okay, how many of them were even projected to be top 24? Over the course of the season, there's only 13 of them that even hit that mark. And of all of those high-value backups that I was talking about before, of the guys that were in uncertain situations and the guys that we knew could do really well, there's only 5 of them that were in that set of 13. Those guys were Drew Lock, Mason Rudolph, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, and Joe Flacco. Those were the only guys that were even projected top 24 at any point of the season that were the high-value ones. Everyone else ended up being outside the top 24 in projection. And then of the guys that were not the high-value expected backup quarterbacks, there were 8 more of those guys. So when we're talking about the high-value backups, it just means that they're likely to start. We only have a few of those guys that we know are like, hey, they're going to do really well from a standpoint of if they come into the game, they're going to take over and be great for fantasy. Those Jameis Winston performances where he's just slinging the ball left and right. Joe Flacco flinging the ball around, same with Andy Dalton. All those guys, there's a reason they're still around in the NFL, and it's because they can throw really well. But they just kind of throw the ball sometimes to the wrong team, and that doesn't really go very well. So if you are trying to have these backup quarterbacks that are going to be a top 24 in terms of projection, well, it makes it look like you want to focus even more on getting a lot of those backups who we don't necessarily identify. Those guys who are on those teams where we don't know when they're going to come into the game because they have an established starter and what we're waiting on is that injury. So once again, this is a situation of you want to try and roster all the backup quarterbacks, every single last one of them. They have value. We're finding that if you look at these quarterbacks over the course of the season, there isn't a huge difference between if you're just trying to get a top 24 performance out of any one backup versus another. The difference would become, okay, do you want to have the potential for top 12 performances? And I'll touch that briefly towards the end of the episode. But you don't need to have any discretion between is this guy on a good team, a bad team. Literally, you just want him to be second on the depth chart. And he has a chance, just as good as anyone else, of being a top 24 quarterback by projection to use in your lineup league. Now, how many of them do we actually need in order to have those guys by projection? The problem is, when we look through this data in the season, it gets real rough. There are quite a few weeks where we only have one option, or potentially two options. Week 13, literally our only option is Jameis Winston. If you're looking at week 10, our only option is Joe Flacco. Week 11, Jameis Winston's the only one again. So we're getting late into the season and you don't have a lot of good options. Cooper Rush kind of helps saves us a little bit towards the end of the season. Like week 12, you have the option of Cooper Rush, Brandon Allen, and Jameis Winston. But Cooper Rush isn't projected as top 24 in week 13. Week 14, Cooper Rush appears again, but then that's the same week we get Mac Jones and Drew Lock. And then we also have Jameis Winston hanging around there again. So like you keep putting each of these weeks, it's like, okay, the guy that I'm trying to rely on, he might just overlap randomly with a bunch of other quarterbacks. And you're going to have weeks where you only have one guy who's projected to end up producing in that top 24 range. So it is much, much harder to perform this strategy if you're in a lineup league. And I would caution myself to say, if you are trying to rely on projections for these top 24 quarterbacks, I would just wouldn't do it. I would not say I need to have a projected top 24 starter every single week of the season if I'm relying just on backup quarterbacks. It is so slim that you are going to have them unless you have basically every single backup in the league, and nobody has roster sizes that large. What you can do is roster as many as possible. And if you know that you have the draft capital, where you have those couple extra thirds, those couple extra seconds, it shows with what I went through that you can always get those top 24 guys out of the backup quarterbacks. That you are able to backfill that position, but you know you are going to have to trade. You cannot rely on, like in the best ball league that I was talking about, having the expectation that you have that guy on your roster. You cannot expect that you are going to have them always available to you. You're going to need to trade for those guys, and you go into the season with the expectation that you are going to have to trade. To me, that is a big difference in best ball versus lineup. In best ball, you have the expectation that you have it filled, but you should have some draft capital in order to be able to trade for those guys if you notice that, hey, as I'm sitting there in week 11, I don't actually have somebody starting this week that is a backup quarterback. I need to go and get somebody else. So if you are in a best ball league, it's okay, I have it as a just in case. Whereas in your lineup league, you need to have those extra thirds and potentially extra seconds just to go get them, because you know at some point you're going to hit the season and be like, I don't have them. I do not have that quarterback on my team. I have to get somebody else. And so that's where that difference lies. You cannot rely on it in lineup the same way that you do in best ball. So now that I've kind of identified that, I wanted to then look at, okay, what if you expand it out to the top 32? I want literally just a quarterback who is going to be a body. What if I extend that out? I just want points out of that quarterback position. And it gets you a little closer to the best ball idea of, in best ball, you need that top 24 quarterback, but you don't know exactly who's going to start, who's going to spike, whatever. So you have those guys that are going to be starting that week. We always say in best ball, you don't want to have zeros on your roster, and any quarterback starting that week is not going to be a zero. This is where things start to get interesting. If you want to have literally just a backup quarterback starting, you don't care whether they're top 24. Maybe they're just a backup quarterback going up against a really bad matchup or something like that. Starting in week 5, you have at least 3 backup quarterbacks available to you every single week of the season, including all those weeks where I was struggling with problems, where week 8 there was no backup quarterback in the top 24. We have 3 of them available to us that week. If we were just trying to have projected top 24, we have none. Projected top 32, literally just starting quarterbacks, you have 3. And the trend holds for the rest of the season. So if we just want a warm body in there, we don't care whether they are projected to be a top 24. you can start this strategy as early as week 5. At least for this past season, with the past season's backup quarterbacks coming in and starting that week. So, if we are trying to employ that kind of strategy, we're fine being a little outside of that top 24 range because the quarterback position in your league is not necessarily something that is the most dominant. This is now a strategy where I can start to try and employ it. I can go in with the expectation that, much like I was saying in best ball, you have 11 backup quarterbacks and you expect after week 5 that you will always have somebody. You need to have those backup value pieces, whether it's those thirds or those younger players or whatever, to make trades in case you don't. But you can go in with the expectation that you will have that. And so you have to be willing to expand your horizons like that. You have to be willing to say, okay, I am fine if I am starting projected the 30th best quarterback this week. If you're looking at, say, that week 8 that I was talking about, you're looking at either starting the 27th, 29th, or 30th best quarterback if you're looking at the backups for that week. And if you look at the results that they ended up giving you, two of them ended up in that top 24 range. Mason Rudolph was one of them. He ended up 13th, and Jameis Winston ended up at 10th. But you have to be willing up to put up with the dud that Spencer Rattler put up, and he ended up finishing outside of the top 32 quarterbacks entirely that week. He got replaced, and he ended up having such a horrible week that you would have been better off starting literally any other quarterback, including some backups from other teams that played that week. So that's the kind of thing that you need to be aware of with the strategy too, is it is something that you can get slapped hard on your face. If you're doing just any quarterback who is starting, you just have a body in there, you can end up getting some horrible performances. You can get 4 points out of your quarterback instead of where you might be expecting, somewhere in the high teens. You can end up with a situation where you are down a lot by that quarterback position. However, you're also putting no value into it. And that's the crux of how you're employing this strategy. You have no value into that position because it is overvalued in your league. It is the kind of strategy where you are saying, okay, you know what? I have 30 roster spots in this lineup league. And so if I just employ 11 backup quarterbacks and then I get one like lame starter at the beginning of the season, that would be your Jacoby Brissett from this past season. Like, just get yourself that Jacoby Brissett, and everyone knows by the time you get somewhere between 3 weeks and 8 weeks into the season, he's not the starter anymore. But if you get lucky and you get to week 5, your expectation is that you will have a backup quarterback. You will have somebody to replace Jacoby Brissett with, and you will continue to ride those varying quarterback performances that go from 5 points all the way up to potentially like 25, 30 points, depending on how they do that week, how good they are as a fantasy quarterback, things like that. But you have to be willing to say, you know what? I'm every other position on my team, I'm going to only put into 18 spots. And if you have like a start 10 team, that means you don't have a lot of backups for those positions. That means that you're looking, you've got one other stud quarterback to fill your primary quarterback spot. And then your running backs, you only have room for a few of them. You might only have room to have, like, say, 4 or 5 running backs, because you also need to have room, say, for your 6 or 7 wide receivers and your 2 or 3 tight ends. And you have to make some hard decisions with that. Maybe it's a league where tight ends don't really matter, and you can just roster one tight end. You don't even roster a backup. because that allows you to have a better, have more backup quarterbacks. And the 1 week of the season that you need to have a tight end there, maybe you're hoping by that point an IR spot fills up. And so the player's on IR, and then you're able to grab that backup tight end, and you still have your 11 backup quarterbacks on your roster. So those are the kinds of things that you need to do. You have to get uncomfortable with your roster construction, really slim down at every other position in order to fit that in. But if you have a league where you are rostering 35 players, now all of a sudden, all the roster construction principles that were talked about in Scott's roster construction series, you're able to easily fit in this strategy of having 11 backup quarterbacks into them. But you don't need to go back and slim down all of these players everywhere else. You don't need to find that way to slim down the total number of running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, in order to fit into a smaller and smaller window. And when you get into, hey, you're rostering only 23, 25 players on your team. I've seen some leagues like that. I know I'm in a couple like that. Like, you cannot employ a strategy like this. You know that backup quarterbacks are going to be on waivers because nobody can afford to invest that many spots on their team into all the backup quarterbacks. So the guys will be on waivers or they'll be on other teams, and you have to be willing to say, I need to go and buy a quarterback. And so if you have that, recognize that that's the case in your league too. Recognize that if you have those backup quarterbacks in a league like that, that people will come calling because they need them. Or if you have those weaker quarterbacks, there's going to be a market for them. There's going to be a market for that Derek Carr when you get partway into the season and a starter goes down and somebody's like, I need somebody to come and just fill in a spot in my lineup. I just need a body there. And I ideally want somebody that has a little bit of stability and who I don't need to worry about as much. Obviously, Derek Carr then got hurt this year, but you can pick literally any quarterback that's in that second range. Any quarterback who's just playing on his team and is like, yeah, he's not really the long-term answer, but he's good enough. He can go into my lineup and he can put up some points. And we know that he's relatively stable on his team. Think even your guys like Aaron Rodgers. How many weeks did he play this season before he ended up subbing out for Tyrod Taylor? He played so many of them, and we knew he was going to. The team has him is so valuable that you know he's going to be playing week after week. Those are the kinds of guys that in a league like that, they are more valuable. More people want them because they're looking for that stability. But as you go out with your total roster size, you enable these strategies of, if I can roster 11 of these backups, I can expect that I have somebody in there every single week. That's going to devalue those guys who are those lower value starters. Because now those backups, if you just roster enough of them, you have the quantity to make up for that pretty low quality that is existing on all the other teams in your league. So that's where I'm going to end this week. Just to recap, if we have a best ball league, I want to have 11 quarterbacks in order to expect that I'm going to get a top 24 performance. And if I have a lineup league, I want to have, yet again, 11 quarterbacks to have the expectation that I will have a starting quarterback any given week to plug into a lineup spot. Both of those strategies need to be employed in very specific situations where your roster size is large enough to account for that number of quarterbacks on your team. You need to have larger roster sizes so that way you know that you can fit all of these quarterbacks into your roster and not eat into all the other positions. You don't want to make a situation where you are so slim everywhere else that one injury is going to take you out. one injury is going to make it where your team is no longer functioning, or even when you get to bye weeks, that if you have three or four players with the same bye week, you do not have the quality behind them in order to sub in. So that's the way to look at this thing, is you need to have a large enough roster size in order to fill in with all of these backup quarterbacks. Next week, I'm going to go through the same exercise with running backs. This past season is maybe a worst case scenario for the running back position, so it'll be really interesting to see what we ended up seeing over the course of the season. Then we'll do wide receivers and tight ends the following 2 weeks. As always, if you have any questions, if you're curious about any of this data, reach out to me. I'm on X at Dynasty Koopa or on the South Harmon Discord, KoopaTroopa8. If you have not joined the South Harmon Discord, go to patreon.com/South Harmon and sign up. If you sign up for the pregame pooper tier, we have the Wrinkled Brains channel, and I'm going to be trying to figure out how to get some of this data in there in an easily digestible form for you guys. That way you can start using it as well. If you want to try to find any holes in my work or just figure out just historically, like the kinds of stuff that I'm looking at and what I was analyzing for this episode. That's everything that I have for this week. As always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.